Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Season 1, Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead, entitled Cobalt. It was written by David Weiner, who has done Flesh and Bone, The Killing, and Last Resort.
All right.
I really enjoyed The Killing. I think there was 3 seasons. The last season came strictly on Netflix. But all of them are on Netflix now, all 3 seasons. And I definitely recommend it. Really, really good show. Really good. Kind of sad and depressing, but good. And it was directed by Kerry Scoglund. Same person who directed last week's episode. And just a reminder, things they worked on is Power, Penny Dreadful, Under the Dome, and also The Killing. So maybe they got David a job or vice versa.
Yeah. Oh, this is the same director?
Yeah, same director as last week.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get into our recap or our likes and dislikes, what did you think?
I think the fear has redeemed itself. This was a great episode. I don't think I have any dislikes. Like.
Yeah, I would say the same. Like, I enjoyed the episode, and I guess I enjoyed it more than what I thought, because watching it the second time around, writing our likes and our dislikes, I didn't really have any dislikes. I had, like, one dislike, and I was like, Nicole, is that really a dislike, or are you just trying to find a dislike? But at the same time, it's still not pulling me in like a show like Walking Dead does, Game of Thrones does, that show that you don't get up unless it's commercial break. You don't get up, not for a moment. You don't look away from the screen for a moment. We're here, I'm tweeting, and then even after I stopped tweeting, I was like, I don't even have nothing to tweet. There's nothing exciting enough to tweet about. So I don't know. I don't have no particular dislikes. It's just that I wasn't like head over heels for it, but I did enjoy it.
Well, I guess because the show wasn't action-packed, but, I mean, the storyline was great. It was excellent. It was well-executed.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And even, like, going back to just last week when we talked about how much we kind of didn't like the show or didn't like the episode, I watched it 2 times last week before we podcasted. And then throughout the week, I was bored and watched it another time. And I told Gary, I was like, that third time around, it got even better. Like, so maybe sometimes you just got to take things in, pay attention a little more to the smaller details.
Yeah.
Because once again, the second time you watch it, you notice stuff that you may have not that you may have not noticed the first time around.
Right.
And just even paying attention to more what Daniel Salazar was saying, Griselda Salazar was saying. I really enjoyed the episode, though. I guess I did. I didn't think I did, but I did. So if this is your guys' first time listening to the podcast, go back and listen to all our other ones. But how we do our recap or our podcast for this show is we would do our likes, our dislikes, listener letters, and our award / prediction.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with our likes. We had a new character this week. We don't know his name.
Yeah, it was the man in the suit.
The man in the suit. He was pretty cool. At first, he was on my dislikes, because I was like, when I watched the second time around and he was talking in the beginning to Doug, the neighbor.
Yeah.
I was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, are you talking? And then I started listening to what he was actually saying. And I was like, okay, I kind of like him. He's kind of like cool.
I liked him. It's like they introduced an exciting character.
Right.
It's like a villain.
Yeah. Okay. So people are calling him a villain, but exactly what did he do that was villainy? You know, he didn't do anything yet. I mean, are you talking about like what he was like fussing at Doug? Like, I don't know.
Well, he did get Doug killed.
Did he? Did he really?
If I'm mistaken, I'm thinking once you leave that room, once you go downstairs, it's a wrap for you.
Yeah. I mean, at first I kind of thought I had villain vibes too, but at the same time, Doug did what Doug did on his own self. And it was funny because when it came on and he was talking to Doug, I was like, oh, that's cool. They're giving people therapy in there because like he had a suit on. So I just assumed he was like a therapist or something. Yeah. And then I was like, he's getting kind of hardcore with him, though. Like, but I was like, well, I guess it's the end of the world. You got to just kind of put everything out there for the person. And then I realized, no, he was, like, a patient as well. Like, he was in there for a reason as well.
Right. But it seems like he knew everybody.
Yeah, he was calling the military people by their name. That's why I thought maybe first he worked there. But then when they came and took his temperature, and I was like, oh, he doesn't just come out when he wants. So I wonder what his reason was for being there, because he didn't seem sick. He didn't seem crazy or have any, you know, psychological issues. So what was he in there for?
I guess we have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll find out. But I really liked his character. Just even the things that he was saying to at first to Doug. He said he's a closer, which we did see because he was able to talk his way into making sure Nick wasn't taken.
Yeah.
And then also the things he was saying to Nick. He said wishing we had something. He had been wishing that they had something to get rid of that urine smell when Nick start throwing up. It was like, be careful what you wish for, because now Nick's throwing up. Yeah, I did take care of the urine smell.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just like so cool, like a Billy D kind of, I don't know, he's just like so cool.
Yeah, he's a cool character.
And then,
and the reason I think he's a villain is because he's trying to weed out the weak people. It looks like he's trying to build his own army.
Oh, that guy? You think that's what he was trying to do with Doug? Like, he was trying to get Doug kicked out?
Yeah, he tried to get rid of Doug.
Okay.
I guess he figured once he made his move, if he makes a move, Doug wasn't going to be there to make a move with him.
Yeah, but just because Doug, just even if Doug was still there when he had to make his move, he didn't have to bring Doug along.
I mean, you're right, but why not weed out? Because what if Doug wouldn't have broke? If Doug wouldn't have broke, then he would say, okay, well, you're coming with me.
Right.
You're strong enough.
And just some things he was saying to Nick was, he says he knows the meaning of necessity. That's why Nick asks, why did you save me? He said, you know the meaning of necessity. You're a heroin addict, which is the gold standard. And at first I didn't get, well, first I thought he was just talking mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
But then upon second watch, I kind of thought about what we've been saying about Nick, is that he's kind of like most prepared for this world because,
yep.
You know, he's learned to kind of be sneaky, get what he wants. I mean, he was, like, trying to rob his neighbor's house in broad daylight. And this is after the military arrived, like, back in episode 3. So, he's bold. He knows what he wants. He knows how to get what he thinks is needed.
Well, couldn't it be any addict?
Yeah, but, exactly. But that's why he was saying heroin addict is the gold standard. Because, you know, if you're an alcoholic addict, technically, you probably won't have the same skill set as a heroin addict. Because you're drunk. You're not going to be able to, like, an alcoholic addict is not like
just alcoholic.
Yeah, an alcoholic. Yeah. They're not like sneaking around to get their alcohol. Like, they don't sneak into their neighbor's house or sneak into their parents' house.
You just go to the corner store.
Right.
Any gas station.
Where a heroin addict, they got to be a little more sneaky. They got to have charismatic. They, you know, it takes a little more initiative to be a heroin addict or a successful one.
Or just an addict.
Yeah, just an addict. But I like that, and I guess he's probably going to be part of the new group, I would say.
Yeah.
So I liked him.
And I saw a lot of talk on social media about him being a part of the Wolf.
Okay, see, I didn't notice it first time, but second time he did mention something about a wolf. And I think they just threw that in there just to get Walking Dead fans excited, because, of course, we know the wolves are coming in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And not literal wolves, but bad people who call themselves wolves.
Yeah, a new group.
A new group, yeah. A new enemy. And so I don't think it has anything technically to do with Walking Dead. I think they just were like, oh, that's a good little word to use, and it'll get the Walking Dead fans talking and get them excited.
Right, but what if they show him in a Walking Dead? And he's the leader of the wolves.
It's possible Walking Dead current season would be about 2 to 3 years ahead of where we are now.
Yeah.
So in 2 to 3 years, it's possible to see that character is way now, has made it over to Alexandria. But I don't know. It's possible.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll have to find out his name. Once they actually give us his name, I know Walking Dead fans who've read the graphic novels, they'll be like, oh, that's a character that's in the Walking Dead series, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing I just wanted to bring up, this might be interesting. I haven't read the graphic novels, but I do sometimes hear people talk about them. So, is this guy gay? The guy with the suit on? Not that it matters, but I'm just saying, is he?
I think so, because didn't his cufflinks say from...
Love always, yeah. Hank.
Yeah.
And then the guy was like, who's Hank? And he had a little look on his face like, none of your damn business, but...
Right.
Or it could have just been like, I stole these from somebody else. I don't know. It's so many different meanings.
Because if it say from love always Hank, that means it was given to you. You're not going to give a woman cufflinks.
No, but I mean, he could have stolen from another man. He's a gambler. He already gave his watch away. I'm not suggesting he's a thief, but it's just possible that he could have stole those from another man who was gay. I know that's like stretching, but I'm just saying it may not be belong to him in the first place.
Okay. All right.
I know it's far-fetched, but just want to throw it out there. It's possible. It's not possible, but I liked him. And then we also have a listener letter who had some stuff to say about him as well. All right, next on the list of likes is the military. The whole military storyline, they were really big this episode. I like that whole storyline with them, just seeing how conflicted they were with what was going on. Like, some of them were okay. Well, it didn't seem like really any of them were okay except for the leader. And he ends up dying.
Yeah, he had a job to do.
Yeah.
And you could tell that this is probably the easiest job he had to do.
Well, yeah, he mentions it to, I forgot which one of them, I think he mentions Travis. He's like, I've been through worse where they actually shoot back at you, where the enemy's shooting back at you. So this is kind of like nothing for him. Or he's taking it very well and just acting like he's cool with everything. But I like that whole storyline, seeing how some of them are not okay with what's going on. Military people wanting to abandon their post, go home to their families.
But you see what happens when you try to abandon your post.
Yeah, you get beat up.
Beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Get knocked back to your senses.
Right, right. That was kind of wrong.
So what did you think about the meaning of, because what did they call it, a hospital? Or what did we think they were calling a hospital?
Headquarters? I don't know. No, headquarters was
no, it started with a C, but we find out that what it really means.
Cobalt. Oh, that's what they were calling the hospital?
Weren't they saying that we need to take them to Cobalt?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know there was a name for the hospital.
Well, I'm not sure if it was the hospital they were talking about, speaking of, but they kept saying Cobalt.
Yeah. We learn what Cobalt is, of course. I still don't know what that term, if that means something in particular, but we learn that it means that we're going to leave town. We're going to leave all these people behind, and we're also going to kill them.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know if they meant kill the people that were only in the facility, in the hospital, or if they meant, like, everybody, like, where Travis and them were and everything like that. Or if they just meant, we're going to go ahead and kill everybody that's at the hospital.
Probably everybody at the hospital. Yeah. They meant the military evacuate and everybody else dies.
Yeah, well, they called it humane termination. I guess they felt like it may be wrong, but at the same time, in the end, those people are going to end up turning. Or they assume those people are going to end up turning. So kill them ahead of time.
Right.
Which is very interesting. We'll get more into that when we, next. Next on the list of likes is Daniel. His storyline was amazing this episode.
Yeah, Daniel's, we already say he was badass.
He was very badass. Every line he delivered, it was just like in awe. Like, I could have just listened to him talk the whole time. He was just amazing how he, I mean, even though there's discussion, you know, like Daniel being pretty much evil, but I guess I try not to judge him because we know that he's had to do some bad things, but he wasn't given a choice. Or you always have a choice, but he was just in that circumstance where he said, you know, when he was talking to the guy he had chained up, he said, they gave me a choice. I either can be the man in the chair or the man with the blade. And of course, somebody like myself, I'm like, I don't want to be the person in the chair, but at the same time, I don't have the guts to be the person with the blade either. Well, I don't know if it's guts, but
yeah, why do you have to be the person with the blade or the person in the chair? Why can't you be like the onlooker?
Well, because obviously they weren't going to give him that choice.
Yeah, that's a choice I want.
Yeah, well, duh, we wouldn't want that choice. But
I'll stand over here.
I don't even want to be an onlooker. I don't want to hear that, see that, know anything about that. Which is kind of what I mentioned last week when I said there's so many things that military or people just in certain positions of power, they have to make those hard choices that regular everyday people can't make, don't want to make. So it's sometimes best we don't want to know. And he kind of relate that to Madison when Madison was like, you're not going to hurt him. And he said, is it that you don't want to know or you don't want me to hurt him? Like, you know, and Madison didn't answer. It's pretty much like, I don't want to know.
Yeah, because she wanted answers.
Right.
She wants her son back. So do you think Daniel was a part of a malicious group?
I think Daniel does what he feels he always has to do. Whether he's a survivor. Not saying it's right, but he does what he needs to do to survive. So if that means torturing somebody, then he'll torture somebody. I kind of think of, like, Saeed from Lost, if you guys ever watched that show way back in the day. But Saeed, like, he, you know, he had to torture people as well. And it's sometimes it's not, of course, it's not what people want to do. It's not like when people join the military or whatever they join, they're going to be like, I'm going to be a torturer. It just sometimes it happens. And I think he did what he felt he needed to do in order to survive.
Okay.
What about you? Do you think Daniel is a bad guy?
I don't think so. Like you said, I think it's from, I guess, circumstance.
Right.
Because he's been telling us his story from the beginning. And you can see that he was the only one that was really aware of what was going on. Or I can't say aware of what was going on, but he was the only one really prepared to not take any chances with anything.
Yeah.
Like when, you know, a job had to be, like when their neighbor had to be killed. He didn't waste any time. He killed him.
Didn't give it second thought.
And when they said they were taking his wife, he told them a story. He said they came and took my father.
No, they didn't take his father, but they came and took some people.
Well, yeah, and said they were coming back.
Yeah.
And next time they seen them, they were, like, floating. So I think he's the way he is because of circumstance.
Right. That's why I'm trying not to judge that character. One, because I like that character. I think he's badass. And then two, unless you have been put in that type of situation or something even relatively close to where you felt your life was on the line and you had to do some crazy shit, then how can you really speak upon it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, Daniel, back in episode one, when I think it was Chris, he was playing with his tools or whatever, and Daniel told him to put it down. And then also when Travis is like, what would anyone want to come in a barbershop for? There's nothing in here but, like, razor blades or whatever. Now we see Daniel, like, he had weapons all around him, you know? Yeah,
he's a master barber.
Yeah, because he was using that, oh, like, what did you think of, what do you agree with his method to get the truth out of that guy?
I guess it was necessary, because, I mean, the guy said he would tell him whatever he needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But why didn't he just tell him?
Well, he didn't tell him at first, remember?
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't he?
Yeah.
If you're going to say, oh, you don't have to do that, I'll tell you whatever you need to know, you need to start spilling your guts.
Like, right away.
Right away.
Like, as soon as someone showed me the little blade, I'm like, okay.
And he still was trying to be secretive as if he didn't believe Daniel was going to do what he was going to do, or what he thought maybe he could talk Daniel out of it.
Right.
Man.
It kind of is like, does the ends justify the means? And there's been so many movies and stuff like that, and I used to be, like, 100% against torture, like, without a doubt. But then you see stuff like that, and it's like, well, torture one person and save 1,000 people? I mean, like I said, it's those type of decisions that an everyday person really would not want to make, can't make, and it's people like Daniel that's willing to make those tough decisions.
Right. And just like the guy in the suit at the, I guess, the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel also was picking a team, putting a team together. Remember, he didn't want to go with Travis and them. He said they were weak.
Right.
So it's like Daniel and the guy in the suit, they're on the same page. They're both thinking about survival.
Right.
They're both trying to get with people that, I guess, would do them good, do their team good.
Yeah, because going back to the guy in the suit real quick, he did say something about, like, all these people are pretty soon are going to become the buffet, you know?
Right.
And he doesn't, of course, want to be the buffet. Last thing about Daniel, what did you think about him going out to check out that guy's story? Or to just to see what was out there?
I thought it was smart.
Okay.
I mean, he could have told Daniel anything.
Right.
And Daniel could have took his word for it. And I guess went right into, it could have been a booby trap he was going into. I think Daniel went to check out his story to make sure he was telling the truth.
To see how big that Coliseum was is so scary to think that it could be filled. Well, first of all, that so many people got slaughtered and killed in there. They never stood a chance. Even if they killed off 100,000 zombies, they never stood a chance because they were locked in. And then to see that now they've all turned, so those are all Walking Dead in there. And it kind of reminded me of that first episode of Walking Dead when Rick is in the hospital and there's that door, the sign that says dead inside, don't open. And you see the chain moving.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought of. And I just got so scared.
This is like 10 times worse.
Yeah, it's 10 times worse because it's going to break. There's going to be a herd. And we've been talking about this or just on social media been talking about, like, how can there possibly be a herd already? But now we can see how they're going to have a zombie herd. And they're going to have to leave LA. It's not safe there. It's not really safe anywhere, probably, if you think about it. They have to go, like, a small town.
Yeah.
All right, so believe it or not, I have Travis on my list of likes this week.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I think he stepped up. I mean, he wasn't able to take that shot of the zombie, the lady, but I'm fine with that. I'm just happy that he actually stood up for his family and actually said something to the military guy, who I'm guessing has passed away. We didn't get to see that death, but he's dead. He's so there's a little small clap for that one. Well, it's not, I mean, just because he's an asshole doesn't mean he deserved to die, but Travis stepping up to him and saying, you know what, you don't want to have, you're just dealing with me right now, but pretty soon you're going to have to deal with a lot of other people.
But you know what, Travis still didn't sound believable when he said that.
He sounded like he was getting the courage to sound believable.
Yeah.
I mean, he was believable enough. The guy took him and said, fine, let's go get Nick, or let's go see Nick. Nick and Griselda and the ex-wife.
You know, I guess I do have a dislike now.
Okay. All right. Well, I liked it. I thought finally Travis steps up, and I wasn't even disappointed with him not being able to take that shot. Even I did think that scene was funny because the military guys did get all hyped up, and I'm like, are they getting hyped up all this for like one zombie? Carl can go out there and just take one zombie hand to hand, not even with a gun. But so it just kind of shows you, like, yeah, they might think they're big and bad, but they're still babies as far as like the zombie apocalypse goes, you know?
Yeah.
But him not being able to take a shot, I was fine with, because I just once again put myself in his shoes. And although you know those people are dead, it's so early still, he still has doubt, like, can they be fixed? Can they turn back to human? Am I killing a human being? And then he sees the lady's nameplate. So I was fine with him hesitating and not being willing to take the shot.
I was fine with that also. I don't think it's nothing wrong with him not being able to take the shot. I still don't think his character is believable. I don't think he's strong enough to be Travis.
Okay, and you know
I still don't think that.
When I was watching this time around, I was giving every character just a little run through and just seeing how I felt about them, because I know you said you didn't think some of them were strong enough for the role.
Right.
And at one point I kind of agreed, but after this episode, I think they're all, I like them all. If it's something I don't like about the character, it has nothing to do with the actor. I think it's the storyline of the character now at this point.
I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
Because I think Travis is a nice guy. And I think that Travis is, I guess, building himself up to be strong. Mm-hmm. But I still don't feel like this actor is delivering Travis.
I think he's doing a pretty good job. He's kind of passive, which is what that character is going for. And then we've seen him slowly get that courage juice. And I think eventually he's not going to be... who's the guy, the priest in Walking Dead that just really is too scared to kill a zombie to save his life, except for, like, finally at the end?
But I believe the priest.
Really?
Yeah. I liked his character.
What?
I think he delivered that scary ass.
Okay. I don't know. I like Travis. I like them all, actually.
And the reason I say this is because Travis is a character that I can do without. But I can't find anything wrong with Travis. On paper...
Okay.
I can't find anything wrong with him on paper. If I don't see Travis the whole episode, I'm not going to miss him. I might not even say what happened to Travis this episode. Travis is dead. if he's not on the show next week, that's what I'm going to think in my head. Like, oh, Travis must have died. He's gone.
Zombie got him. Now, another thing I noticed last week, and then it was again said this week, so I don't know if it's foreshadowing or if it's just one of those coincidences. But the mayor keeps calling Travis the military guy keeps calling Travis mayor. And, you know, we have the governor on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Could it have anything to do with anything, or is it just his little silly nickname for Travis?
Well, I think right now Travis is acting as the mayor. He's the go-to guy, or the go-between guy for that little gated community.
Right.
So I just think that, I mean, that's what he's calling him, because Travis is...
the people's champ or whatever.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the people's champ.
Okay. Also, just another thing I noticed, like, with the whole Travis thing and Travis, Madison, and Chris, is, like, when Travis told Chris to apologize, and he said, no, I like that. But also when Travis was talking to Madison, he's like, okay, I'm going to go get his mom. And Madison's like, and Nick, right? So I don't know, the fact that she had to say, and Nick.
I thought it was already a given.
Okay. That he wouldn't just go and get his ex-wife and leave Nick.
Right, right. Okay. I think Chris was right by what he said, that they don't really care about his mother, especially Madison.
Madison may not care, but at the same time, Liza went there by herself, just like Chris said. No one forced her to go.
Right, right, right. But, I mean, the only thing on Madison's mind is getting Nick back.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing on Chris's mind is getting his mom back.
Of course. But when Travis said, well, tell him, it's already a given that he's going to get Nick. Mm-hmm. We just discussed this. Remember, they were sitting at the table discussing that before Chris walked in.
Right.
They were going to get Nick. And he said, well, you haven't mentioned anything about my mother. So that was already the discussion. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to go get Nick back. So now when he said, well, tell him that I'm going to bring his mother back. I mean, I took it as, tell him I'm going to bring his mother back also.
Right. Okay.
So it was just unnecessary for her to say, and Nick.
Okay.
I mean, y'all just had a whole, like, 30-minute or hour conversation about Nick.
I do wonder if that whole love triangle or blended family stuff will come up later on, or if, once again, in the next episode, society is going to fall even more. Like, their little community is going to fall. So they're really going to have time for these little small bickering of, that's my mom and that's my dad. They're all going to kind of come a family like on Walking Dead, I think.
I don't know. I think it's too much tension between this group right here.
I think so too, but I think after the walls fall, they're going to realize they need each other.
Hopefully. Like I had was Alicia this week. Remember I said I could do without Alicia's character?
Right.
But this week she really stepped up. I feel like she had the same skills that Nick have. You know, the sneakiness, breaking in homes. I mean, she found a house and everything.
They were playing with toys, getting dressed, playing dress up.
Right, so we see that Nick is not the only one breaking into people's houses.
Yeah, and then they trash the house. But I guess they know that these people are not coming back. Like, they're not in denial anymore.
Well, she made the statement that rich people are always the last to move in for the first to get out.
Right.
Which, I mean, we see that happen all the time, that people with money, when something's about to happen, a tragedy, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on the first flight out.
Right.
Which, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, if I had the money and I knew that the zombie apocalypse was coming, I'm out too.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that you brought Alicia up, because I first had it as my dislike, but then watching the second time around, I'm like, is it really dislike, or am I just, like, forcing it to be disliked? Because I really didn't have anything in particular I disliked about it.
I like the fact that she was able to find something to take her mind off of it, find something fun to do, even if it is breaking the internet.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that she was able to find something to take her away from all the craziness going on. I did dislike the fact that they start breaking stuff, because, damn, this is your toys. This is your toys now. What are you going to play with now?
I mean, well, they were breaking plates and stuff and, like, pillows and stupid stuff.
Yeah, but you still had to walk in there if you want to play with the toy airplane again. Now you had to step over glass. I mean, really, now, if you're going to keep this as your fun house, you're going to have to clean up.
That's true. But they are teenagers, so I kind of let that slide. Like, they're not thinking about the consequences later on. They're just, I mean, imagine if you were a teenager and you were able to trash a place and not get in trouble. It'd just be fun. I think
it'd be more fun if I would just kept the place for myself, and then just invite my mom over and say, yeah, but you had to go home soon. I don't want you to stay here too long. I'm rich now.
Okay, a few things about this scene. I did like how Alicia and Chris are now getting along.
I never understood why they didn't get along.
Well, I'm hoping we still get that backstory.
And I hope so. I hope they just didn't just skip all over that.
Right. And then it didn't show Alicia's arm. Like, the whole time I kept looking to see, has no one noticed that tattoo that she made last week? But it never showed that arm. Like, each time the scene was very good not to show that arm. Like, or that part of the arm. So, I mean, I'm guessing it's still there. But I want to see, like, when her mom's going to notice. And it just kind of funny to show how Madison, she's so into what's going on with Nick. I'm like, she doesn't notice that Alicia's been gone all damn day, you know?
Yeah.
You would think you're worried about your kids and Alicia's the young one. I don't know. She didn't notice that, but I liked it, I guess. At first, I was like, okay, this is boring. They're playing dress up, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, I liked it. It may even be like a little love connection.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun twist.
Yeah. Something fun and lighthearted before the shit gets really real next week. There's no turning back.
You should think about it. Before we seen this scene, I mean, we already seen the military trying to kill people. After this scene, you know, we see the zombies at the stadium. I mean, it was good to have this feel-good scene in between.
Right. Just seeing them have fun, be young, no worries for just a few minutes. I liked it. Even Chris, like, I liked seeing him in the man's tuxedo because it was, like, all big on him and stuff. Yeah. I like Chris. I really like Chris, and I see online all the time people do not like him, but I don't see why. I like him. I like his character.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with his character.
And I thought I didn't like Alicia, but I liked Alicia. Just seeing her finally just have a little fun, not act like a little brat.
That's what I was saying last week. I was saying that if we didn't see her, I wouldn't miss her.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing her personality this week, it's like they're building her up.
Right.
They're doing a lot more with her character.
Yeah, I like seeing her just have a personality, I guess, or not just walk around mad all the time. Ask him about whatever happened to Matt. She about to forget about Matt by the end of the season. She's like, Matt who?
I wonder if Matt's still in that community.
Matt is dead. They didn't put him down behind the scenes.
I'm sure they did.
All right, one last thing on the likes is kind of going back to the Daniel, the Salazars. Ophelia, I really liked her character. She's getting built up a lot more. Just seeing her yell at the military and tell them, like, screw this and fighting back.
Oh, yeah, put on the act.
Yes, but see, that's what I was wondering. Like, was that all an act? Because even when Daniel and her brought that guy down there, she was playing, like, good cop. And I was like, oh, wow. But then when she got upstairs, talked to Madison, she's like, this is what we got to do. And I was like, damn, Ophelia. So was she joking? Like, was she...
It was an act because she said my father wanted me to bring him to him.
Okay. Okay, so when she kept saying, like, to the guy, we know you didn't do anything wrong and stuff.
Yeah, I think
like
it was good cop, bad cop.
Okay. Now, I still think that guy, which is going to be awkward, but I think he's going to be part of the group.
Yeah, that is kind of awkward.
Yeah, after someone tortured you.
Yeah, I don't know if I could look at you the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could be in the same group together.
Right. But I think, I mean, because he's a pretty established actor. Like I said, he's played on a lot of stuff. Not saying that doesn't mean he can only play in one or two episodes, but I just have a feeling he's going to be part of it. I mean, because where is he now? He's still down there.
Well, the thing is, we see the military heading out now.
Yeah.
So they're leaving him behind.
Right. Remember, well, they mentioned they couldn't find him earlier, so.
Yeah. So unless, I guess, Daniel kill him, he's going to be with them.
Yeah, I don't think Daniel will kill him at this point. He told him everything he needs to know. But yeah, I guess I liked the episode. And like I said, I only had that dislike as far as Alicia and Chris playing dress up. And it's so weird because when I'm writing the notes down, I go, I don't really have any dislikes. But it wasn't one of those episodes where we were just so excited afterwards. Like, we didn't do an instant cast for it because it was just like, it was just cool. It was just like, okay.
I think last week, me and you were on different pages. And this week, it's like it reversed.
Okay.
Remember last week, I left the episode ready to throw the TV.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, that was a good episode. But it's like we reversed roles this week. Like, this week, I'm like, wow. Okay. This was a good episode. And you were like,
Yeah, I'm like, right. I mean, it's not bad, but it just, when Walking Dead comes on, I'm into the TV. Do not talk to me. Do not call me. Do not nothing. But here, I still probably wouldn't take a phone call or anything, but I wasn't all super excited. I wasn't just like, oh, I can't wait. I wasn't like, you know, those emotions I usually get when I'm watching like Walking Dead.
Well, you know, I think it's hard because we know too much.
Okay.
Because right now, you know, I just want to jump in the TV and snatch somebody's gun and say, here, follow me.
Right.
Let me show you got to do this.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't trust him. Move. Get down. You know, right. I want to jump in the screen and do all that because I know too much. I know what's about to happen. So I want to be, you know, jumping the screen, be that guy that came from the future.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Terminator.
Yeah.
But hey.
Okay. And then I think since we didn't see Moyers die this week, that was the military guy, I think we're going to see him as a zombie next week, as an infected.
I don't know. I doubt we ever see him again.
Okay. You think that's just
Yeah, that'd be a waste of time.
Okay. I mean, I think it won't be a big deal, but we're like, oh my gosh, there he is as a zombie.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope not.
Okay, and then Travis kills him. Like, that'd be cool.
That might build Travis back up.
Yeah. Travis has to actually put him down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any dislikes for you?
Well, like I said, now I have a dislike. And when you start talking about Travis, I almost forgot about Travis this episode.
Okay. You just have a thing for Travis. You do not like him.
I like Travis. I don't like...
Cliff Curtis.
The thing is, I like Cliff Curtis. Okay. I like him in other movies. I just don't like him as Travis.
Okay. I have no problem. I like him as Travis, actually. He's probably in my top five favorite characters.
Man, there's only five characters. So was he number five?
He's probably number four or something. I don't know.
He can't be number four.
There's Nick, Daniel, Chris, Guy in the Suit, and then Travis. Yeah, Guy in the Suit, he already made his way to top five. He's just cool. He's super cool.
If you add the guy in the suit, then I don't think Travis make the top five.
Okay. Who's your top five?
I mean, I pick Miss Salazar.
Salazar. Have respect for the damn dead. Oh, okay, you know what? Okay, I do have another like. Miss Salazar. Like, okay. Honestly, first time watching, didn't pay any attention to what she was saying. I was just like, blah, blah, blah. Because I hate when people talk, give a whole speech right before they die. It's like, who does that? You're about to die. Aren't you saving your breath to die?
Well, you don't want to be around me when I die.
Oh, gosh. You're not going to give a speech,
I'm
are you?
I'm giving a speech.
Ugh. That's the worst. Why give a speech right before you die?
Because I want to say the things that I couldn't say.
Yeah, but you have, like, if you're about to die, you have hardly any breath. How are you giving a five-minute speech?
I don't know. That's how I'm going out.
Okay.
Going out just like the movies.
Okay.
Nicole, come here.
Wait, come closer.
Come here.
That shit's not funny. People die. That's like real life.
Yeah.
But still, it was funny. Like, so at first, I was not paying attention to what she was saying. I was like, oh, there we go. That final death speech, you know, everyone gives. But we have a listener letter. And after what she wrote, I looked back. I said, let me go back and listen to that speech. And Mrs. Salazar pretty much said Daniel was evil. She knew that he was evil, but she was young and dumb when she got married with him, and she always feared that people would come back for them because they knew all the wrong that he did. And if now this is her punishment for, I guess, all the evil that he did, then she'll take it. And she said, now you know my nature and I know yours, or something like that. Once again, that nature thing. So I kind of liked her speech when I actually paid attention to what she was saying.
Yeah, it was a cool speech. But I didn't think she was talking about Daniel.
No, she said, I love my husband, but he's like an evil man or something like that. And that's why when the doctor was
I thought she was speaking in metaphors.
She was speaking a lot of metaphors, but she did the second time around, like I really paid attention to what she was saying, and she said husband. And
okay.
Even it was kind of weird when that doctor lady was asking, what is she saying? And Liza's like, I don't know, she's talking crazy. So Liza probably understood what she was saying, but it was kind of like, what? She's, you know, like, what does she mean her husband's evil? And, her, you know.
Well, maybe her husband's a necessary evil. Well, which we already said.
Yeah, we said. Like I said, that's why I'm trying not to judge Daniel, because I don't know what I would do in those circumstances, you know?
I'll be on his good side.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's why I think, like, Saeed from Lost, he was scary, too.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't really have any dislikes other than sort of somewhat dislikes.
Other than Travis, no. No dislikes.
Travis is not on my dislike list. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go into listener letters. If you guys want to be part of the podcast and get your thoughts, feelings, comments, questions, whatever it is on the episode, you can email us at dead@theverdictsin.com.
Or hit us up on the social networks, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't know about Instagram. Well, we have an Instagram account.
Yeah, hit us up on Instagram. If you write a comment, I'll see it.
Or just send us a picture and we'll break it down.
Send a picture and then we'll kind of figure out what they meant by that picture.
We would decode your picture.
Unless it's a meme, you know, then we can figure it out.
Yeah. All of them are at the Verdicts Inn.
At the Verdicts Inn?
At the Verdicts Inn, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so today we have one Twitter, and it's actually from Mrs. Charlotte Vale. And she actually gave us a site for a game. There's a Walking Dead game. And we'll I looked already online, and we kind of, it's like a Walking Dead pool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really cool. I still need to do a little more research, and I kind of want to register the verdicts in, and then maybe us and whoever listens to our podcast, we can all put in, I don't think you have to pay any money or anything, but we can be all part of a pool.
Yeah, and be part of a team.
I'm going to look more into it, so I'll have information on that on the final episode.
Yeah.
On episode 6. But she wrote to us on Twitter, and she wrote, "I thought Daniel Salazar was an evil soldier, but I didn't want to seem racist. So Mrs. Salazar married the devil to survive." Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a television show.
Yeah.
I mean, we stereotype everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So.
I saw people talking, the guy in the suit, they called him just the black guy. So.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah. But I never thought Daniel was evil. I thought he was, like, hardcore. But I didn't know he was evil until this episode, when we learned a little more about him.
And I still don't think he's evil.
Okay.
Like I said, I think he's doing whatever he has to do to survive. I think that he's who he is by circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, he always talk about, well, in the first couple episodes, he was talking about the nature in which he grew up in. So maybe there was so much evil around him that he had to do what he had to do to survive.
Okay.
I mean, I guess by us not understanding how he grew up, like, I mean, we don't know anybody past, but if we don't understand, I guess, their environment they grew up in, then when they do stuff that's out of character for us, like slice somebody's arm up, maybe think it's evil.
I mean, maybe
where he's from, that's what they do to get answers.
Okay, just to play devil's advocate here, I'm going to say that some people would still see that as evil.
Maybe.
The thing is, you always have a choice in life. Always. It may not be the best choice, but you always have the choice. So, like, if someone puts a gun to your head and says, you have to kill this person, you don't have to kill that person. You could just die. You could just let them kill you, and then you won't do that evil deed of killing someone else.
Okay, well, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
So, what if you die because you don't want to kill a person, and they end up killing you and that person anyway?
At least I know I don't have that person's blood on my hands.
But see, instead of letting them take two lives, you just took one.
No, because what if I kill that person and they kill me anyways? Now I killed a person for no reason.
Who does that? Who killed you after you killed somebody?
They always do it on the movies. That's what they always do. They always say, tell me the truth, and tell me this, and I'll let you go free.
No, but that's a different circumstance. I never seen a movie where they hand somebody a gun and say, now you kill him. And the person killed him, and they just killed him anyway. No, after they kill him, they show him love. They give him a hug. Say, yeah, he's part of us now.
I don't know. You're thinking of, like, some gang initiation movie. That's not, like, in the movie.
Think about Western movies, all movies.
Oh, really? I don't know. I think if someone's threatening to kill me if I don't do something, what's the chance? Then they're willing to kill me. Just think of that. Like, so if I do it, what makes me think that they're not all of a sudden not willing to kill me?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, if someone's willing to kill you, they're just going to kill you. Actually, I would be like, do it. No, I wouldn't. I'd be scared. But still, I would like to think I would be the bigger person and just not, I'm not a bigger person, but I would like to think I would just be like, no, I'm not doing it. If it's something I'm not willing to do, like I can't live with, you know?
Yeah. But look at us talking big and bad.
Right. No, good and well. But no, where's the good?
Yeah. No, no, we're not about that life.
Right. We ain't about that life. But yeah, so when Miss Charlotte, her Twitter, if you guys want to follow her or anything, like, it's Mrs. Charlotte Vale. So when she wrote that, that's what made me go back and kind of look at Griselda's final scene to see exactly what she was saying. So I think she does feel like she married the devil. And she kept saying something about the devil in her final words. Saying, like, I think she did actually say, like, I married the devil. Or
yeah.
She kept saying, like, I faced the devil and I've seen the devil's face and it is yours. That's what she said.
Wow.
Yeah. So she said some powerful last words, and I wonder if she ever told Daniel that's how she felt. We'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. I'm pretty sure she didn't. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gave it as her last speech.
That final death speech. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we got an email from Yolanda. She wrote us last week, and we're happy to hear from her again this week.
Oh, yes.
And she wrote, I bust out laughing when I read her email, just tell you guys earlier. She wrote two questions. Hi, Nicole and Gary. Or hi, Gary and Nicole. Two questions for you on this week's episode.
Okay, cool.
One, last week, Gary told us that he would be Doug hiding in the back bathroom. So since he's now Doug, how long would it take Mr. Clean to break him down and have him weeping like a little girl?
That's messed up.
That was so messed up, but it was so funny. And I knew who she was talking about at first, but I was like, Mr. Clean, is that his nickname? But that is the nickname we are going to go by, gosh darn it.
That's a cool name.
That's a cool name.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean, because he was like.
Let's go back to the question.
Okay.
Gary weeping?
Yeah.
Like a little girl?
Yeah. Well, you said you was going to be Doug, so Mr. Clean, he going to talk to you?
Yeah, he's going to
show you
that.
A picture? Yeah. He going to be like, you's a sucker. And then you're going to be like, ah. So, yeah. Would you be weeping?
I don't think I'd weep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a scary situation. I'm not saying I won't weep, but I'm just saying I don't know what I'll do.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't think that I'll go out like Doug. But like I said, you know, it's the zombie apocalypse. You know, some weird stuff's happening. I mean, if I happen to weep, you know, that's my prerogative.
Okay. No judging the weepers.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't mad at Doug. I didn't judge him.
Okay. I thought Doug got a little extra at the end. Like, all that climbing. What did he do? Like, grab onto the fence or the wall, whatever that was.
Yeah, what was that about?
Like, scream crying. Like, come on, Doug. Your ass is too big to be acting that way. Too damn big. Doing all that crying stuff. And how can you cry that long? Like, you didn't get your tears out a day ago? You're still crying? Like, geez. It's like you, it seems like you would have cried and you would finally got over it. And then you're like, okay, I'm finished crying now. It's time to, you know, time to man up, time to face it.
I guess it's easier said than
done. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right, I think we have tough skin now just because we've seen The Walking Dead.
Right.
I mean, I think everybody watching the show feel like they could go out and kill a zombie.
Yeah, no. I mean, I sometimes try to put myself in their shoes, and I'd probably be super scared, like, but, seeing a zombie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we haven't seen The Walking Dead, we would be, like, yeah, super scared to see this. Like, if this show came out first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we wouldn't know how to kill these guys.
Right.
You know, we everybody would be Doug.
Yeah.
Nobody be Mr. Clean.
Well, you know, we haven't seen Mr. Clean in action yet. We see him talk the talk. We see that he snuck the key, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Mr. Clean had a key.
Yeah, so...
That's a cool name, Mr. Clean. Yeah, I like that.
We're going to call him Mr. Clean until we get his official name. All right, her second question says, can Mr. Clean survive the zombie apocalypse? We were just talking about that. She said, those shoes were spit shine, and it's getting dirty outside. Love your show. You keep me laughing, Yolanda. That's so funny, Yolanda. Yeah, he was, that's why, and that's when I realized, when I was reading her email, I'm like, oh, that's why she called him Mr. Clean, because, like, he was in his suit and everything.
Yeah.
Which is why I thought he was the therapist at first.
Yeah, he had the cufflinks.
Yeah.
He had them.
Had them until he
had
got rid
watch.
Of them.
Yeah.
I mean, those are no good anymore anyways.
But like I said, Mr. Clean made a reference to the wolf. And everybody knows that the new season Walking Dead, that's who they're going to be, I guess, fighting. It's the wolf.
Right.
So, I think he would be able to survive, and I think it would be awesome if, when Walking Dead come back, we see that Mr. Clean is the leader.
That would be cool, but...
And we see...
He couldn't be on both shows. If he ends up being on The Walking Dead...
That right there is what would make it cool.
Is seeing that, him on both shows?
Yeah, that we see what he's become, and we can see him becoming that.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
That right there, that'll resurrect the show all the way for me.
Okay.
If I could see, because we see that he took Nick with him. So what if we see Nick
with him? I don't want to see Nick as a wolf. I don't.
I mean, it's been years. He's clean now.
No, but
you know, he's no longer an addict.
No, but I don't want to see him, like, the wolves are bad guys. Not only that, we just know they're going to get killed because Rick kills all his
enemies. Well, the thing is, are they really bad guys?
They tried to kill Morgan. Yeah, they're bad guys. They tried to kill Daryl.
I mean, that don't mean they're bad guys. It's, right now, it's survival of the fittest.
They weren't doing that to survive. They were doing that just to kill people.
I mean, they must think they have to take out a lot of people. Like Rick. I mean, Rick could be a bad guy to some people.
Rick just don't go around walking up killing people for no reason or coming up and snatching people up for no reason.
I mean, he's getting pretty close to that.
Well, we'll have to see until he actually gets there. I haven't seen Rick just go up and try to kill a random person just because.
He killed a random person at the end of the season.
That wasn't a random person. That person just killed somebody. And he was beating his wife. They don't have time for domestic violence in the zombie apocalypse. They don't have time for that nonsense. You better get right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Yolanda, and thank you, Mrs. Charlotte Vale. Once again, you guys can hit us up at dead@theverdictsin.com or on any of the social medias at The Verdicts In. And now time for our awards.
Okay, you go first.
I was going to tell you the same. Okay, I Ain't Fair and Shit Award goes to, in my opinion, this week. Oh, wait, before we give it to her, let's see who we went to last week. Who did we give it to last week? I Ain't Fair and Shit Award.
Madison.
Was given to Madison?
Yeah.
What did she do? Oh, yeah. She went outside the gate. Okay, so last week, Madison won it.
Right.
This week, I'm giving it to Daniel, who is now a second-time winner.
I don't know. I kind of feel you when you say you give an award to Daniel, but I can't give it to him this episode.
You can't give it to...
I can't give it to Daniel.
Because he's a torturer?
No, because, I mean, he wasn't the baddest person of this episode.
Okay.
I would have to say... I'm giving this award to Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
And the reason is Mr. Clean, with all the stuff going on around him, the army snatching people up, he knows how to negotiate. He's not scared of them. He's not even scared of having Nick on his team. And we all know Nick's an addict.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have Nick on my team.
I don't know if I mean, I would like to think I have Nick on my team because I like him, but I guess in reality, I might not want him on my team.
Right. You just can't have Nick on your team. But, I mean, that's the reason I give him the I Ain't Fearing Shit. Plus, he's ready to go. He stole the key. Well, you know what? I think he stole the key.
I thought he maybe stole the key when he was talking to the guy, right, I'm assuming. Right.
So he stole the key. So, you know, he's planning a break.
Yeah.
A prison break. So that's some badass shit.
Okay. Okay, I will accept that I Ain't Fearing Shit Award. I mean, I'm not going to change mine. I'm still going to give it to Daniel, 2-time winner.
And you know what? We'll let the listeners decide.
Yeah, let us know.
Daniel should get it or Mr. Clean. Okay. I like that name, Mr. Clean.
I do like Mr. Clean. Hopefully, we won't know his name for another episode or until next season, so we can call him that next week as well. Or that could just be his nickname. All right, so most likely to die, we gave it to Griselda last week.
And she died, right?
R.I.P. Griselda.
Yeah.
Died like a boss. Gave a speech.
Gave a speech, yeah.
I'm telling you now, I'm not giving no damn speech before I'm dying. It's not happening. Like, if I'm dying, I'm going to just take those deep last 3 breaths and enjoy my air.
It's going to be your lost.
You're lost. I better have said whatever I need to say long before I got on that deathbed.
You're lost. For real.
Back in 2015, Gary and I used to podcast. Like, who has time for that shit? Okay, anywho. R.I.P. Miss Griselda.
Yeah.
Your family will miss you.
We will miss you.
We will miss you.
Even though we gave you the most likely to die last week.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad now.
Hey. Well, actually, on my list today, I have nobody.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's going to be the big season finale. I know shit's going to be crazy. But I don't think... Okay, well, let me change it. I don't think anyone that's been there since episode 1 is going to die. But the only person I could probably give it to is, I don't know that military guy's name. Ophelia's fake boyfriend. Maybe him. He'll die like a hero trying to save them. And they'll be like, oh, he really was for us. So, like, maybe him. But other than that, I don't have anyone.
I think I'm going to give it to Travis.
Shut up. Travis is not dying, okay? He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but what if next episode they come with a different guy?
Stupid. Not next episode. You mean like next season?
No, next episode. He's like, yeah, I'm Travis. And what if we just all accept that?
Nobody's going to accept that. Like, even if they tried to pull that stunt, maybe season 2. And they've never done that on The Walking Dead. They've never had someone play another character. Yeah, they never had someone play another character on The Walking Dead. Like, you know, Daryl's always been Daryl. I mean, Norman Reedus has always been Daryl.
But I have a feeling that somebody else...
No, it's not happening. Like,
hey, I'm Travis. And we're just going to accept it.
No. I mean, I can see them doing that with, like, Alicia. They just got another pretty girl. I can see them pulling that stunt with Alicia, but not with Travis.
I think they could do it. Because I think probably like by the 3rd season or probably the middle of the 2nd season or 2nd episode, we forget.
No, we won't. We
forget who used to be Travis.
No, we won't forget that.
I'm still giving it to Travis.
Okay. It's not going to happen, but okay. All right.
Watch. the very end of the episode, he's going to sacrifice himself for the love of the show.
He's not going anywhere, man. Travis is cool. Travis is cool. Right. I mean, I've even come to terms and accepted Madison as part of, you know, Madison, Kim Dickens. I've accepted her.
I love Madison.
Yeah, I don't like seeing her. But I've accepted it.
Yeah, Travis got to go.
Oh, okay. A few quick things I want to bring up because it came on after the last week's episode. One is people are saying that Madison is an alcoholic. She was drinking a couple times last week. And, I mean, they kind of really showed her drinking, but so was Travis. Actually, I think that's how me and Charlotte first started talking. Because we were talking about if she was an alcoholic.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Could that be how Madison and Travis met? Maybe in an AA meeting?
But then why are they both drinking? I mean, it's possible. If zombie apocalypse happened, like, you know, whatever addictions you had before, just let them come back, you know?
Madison was, oh, yeah, they met at school. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm reaching now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't know. They could have met still.
No, I'm reaching because we don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure they met at the school.
Because in a listener letter last week, what was that? They said that maybe Travis cheated on his family with Madison, mm-hmm. and that's why they don't get along. I wish they had hurry up and explain how they met.
I'm thinking since they've only showed them at school together, then that's the story they're going with, that they met at school.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was something... Oh, okay. The other thing I was going to say, something else came up, too. So... We had two listener letters last week, Yolanda and Abby, and they were talking about Nick's clothes. And remember, yeah. We hadn't noticed. So I looked, even this week, I didn't notice. I was like, oh, shoot, let me look and see what he had on. So I will say Nick did change his shirt because the old man's shirt was like striped or plaid or something.
No, it wasn't.
The man's shirt? Yeah, he had like a button-up shirt.
Yeah, it was a button-up shirt, but it was like a beige button-up shirt. The plaid was inside the jacket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's still wearing the same jacket with the inside plaid.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a shirt that was plaid. No. Well, then I still think he changed a shirt because his shirt was like, it looked like crisply white. It looked like a crisp white t-shirt. But he does have the jacket on and the pants on still.
I mean, I don't think he changed clothes. And the reason is I recognized him.
No, even the white t-shirt, though? You can't keep a white t-shirt clean for so long.
No, I'm saying that I recognized him.
What do you mean?
that we see him in those clothes for so long, if they change the clothes, they'll say, who is that? Man. they added a new character.
But I will also say this, that, what's his name? Chris, he had on the same thing that he had on last week. I still forgot to go back to, like, episode 2 or whatever.
But that's different because Chris is not at home.
But technically, that's another thing. Does Nick live there either?
I'm pretty sure he do.
Okay, we don't know. Those were just a few things that came up afterwards that I was thinking of.
Because right now, I think I don't see too many people doing clothes change right now. But the thing is, really, Nick should have been changed his clothes. He'd been home. I'm pretty sure he took a shower.
He was in the pool.
Though that means he took.
If he's not taking a shower, that's chlorine. That
if he's in the pool, that means he took off his clothes to get in the pool. Do you tell me he got out of the pool, took a shower, and put the clothes back on?
I don't know what he did. Because if you think back to episode 1, when we first were introduced to Nick and what he had on, those clothes didn't look clean either. So it's like clearly that's not a priority for him, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Mr. McLean might get him a suit or something. I don't know. You never know. Next week, Nick might be rolling nice. So,
no, I think what he have on is just him now.
Okay.
If they change it, man, we probably lose our mind.
No. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
You're right. Be like, what happened to Nick?
Crazy. Nick was beat up this week. I was kind of mad about that. I'm like, don't touch Nick. How they beat him up like that? But well, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We only have one more episode left.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, we get into Walking Dead, which will be on this same feed. I cannot wait. Season 5, episode 1 was like the best episode ever of Walking Dead. And Walking Dead season 5 is actually now on Netflix. So you guys can hurry up and catch up there.
Yeah. Check our verdicts in, feed out. We have 2 new shows that we're podcast. Well, we're not going to podcast a full season. We're probably just going to do like 1 or 2 episodes of
Limitless
and
We haven't done Quantico yet, but...
Yeah, we said we were going to do like an episode of Quantico or two episodes.
Quantico was good. It came out last night.
Yeah, it was a real good episode.
It was so... I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it comes on at 10 o'clock, I think on ABC.
Yeah.
And then like the lead actress, I don't know her name, but she's like so pretty.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
You might as well just watch and just watch just to watch her because she's so pretty. Okay. Well, that's everything. Thank you guys so much for listening. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Until next week. If the episode is banging, which it should be because it's the season finale, we will come Sunday night and do our instant cast. But if not, we will see you guys late Tuesday. Tuesday. I'm getting the days mixed up. But thank you. Have a good night. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.